Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 105. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
And now the end is near.
The end is past.
Nabby has saved his final slap shot.
Hey, good.
Goodbye, Mr. Nabokov. It's been nice knowing you and watching you give up 50-foot goals.
Through the 5-0 and over the glove.
But more, yes, more than this, you did it your Russian way.
Yes, it's a eulogy to Evgeny Nabokov.
That's right. If you're still listening,
hey, that wasn't so bad.
Nabby is, for all intents and purposes, gone, dude.
He's gone.
This is huge, huge news. As our guest this week, John Swenson from Sharks Page, compares it to probably the biggest move in the franchise since Owen Nolan departed.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking to John in just a couple minutes, but there's been so much news. You know, there's Brad Staubitz got traded.
That's news.
Yeah, it's news, technically.
That's true. No.
But Nabokov is certainly the big thing on our minds. I mean, he's been the franchise goalie for many years. He's been with the club his entire professional career, and now he's gone. And that's something that we haven't really seen a whole lot of, you know, in Sharks history, and it's certainly notable, and it certainly raises a lot of questions with Blake, the captain, leaving, the franchise goalie leaving. You know, this team is going through bigger changes maybe than any other time in their history. Can we say that?
Ooh, boy. I guess it's going to depend on if everything else is the same and it's just a different goalie, then I'd say no. But I guess this could be the beginning of, you know, like we've talked about that, you know, this might be Doug Wilson's real last hurrah with this group, especially with Thornton's contract coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that, if Thornton goes next year, is that even more earth-shattering than this? We could be a week away from maybe the biggest, most earth-shattering thing, which might be Patrick Marleau leaving.
Yeah, I just don't think that's going to happen. I think that the real reason why they didn't sign Nabokov was so they could sign Marleau. I mean, that's the reason why.
You
get $5 million off the books, so you
But as John Swenson knows, not all things are as they appear.
Well, let's head to the interview then, because we talked to John about all this stuff, Marleau, Nabokov, all the different questions, talk about some free agents. So check it out. Here's John.
Please welcome a good friend, scholar, get-home philosopher.
All right, we're joined this week on Dudes on Hockey by John Swenson, proprietor, main lead writer, and editor of SharksPage.com. John, how are you?
I'm good. It's a busy day.
It sure has been a busy day. Certainly the leading news of the day for Sharks fans has been the news that Doug Wilson and company have decided not to re-sign Evgeny Nabokov as the starting goaltender for the San Jose Sharks next season. What is your reaction to this news?
Well, it's huge. I think it's the biggest departure for San Jose than after long-term captain Owen Nolan left.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really... it's uncharted territory, because you think for 10 years he's had a major part to play in how the season's going to end up, the regular season and the postseason. And I think, you know, as I wrote today, I think you have to judge him on postseason success. And there, I don't think he's lived up to what he's been, you know, he's been paid to be a difference maker in the playoffs. I think, you know, he's fallen a little bit short. So
I think he even said as much. I think I read a quote saying, you know, I just didn't quite get the job done. I didn't quite make it. For the Sharks, I guess that's what they're really, at the end of the day, that's what pointed him out of town, right?
But also, you know, I think it's a little bit of the Mike Rathje syndrome, or I guess in your guys' case, Alexei Semenov syndrome.
Now you're talking.
He's a focal point. And him, I think the goaltender and the captain, I think a lot of times if a team's going to come out flat, and I even noticed this against Russia, that it was like Matador defense. You know, they were watching guys go by and hoping Nabokov could just bail them out every time. I think in playoff series after playoff series for San Jose, I was standing down there watching them come out, trying to see, gauge, you know, are these guys fired up? Are they going to be, you know, frothing at the mouth to start the playoffs? I think too many times they came out and let the other team dictate the tempo, dictate the series. They dropped too many games at home, and they were playing catch-up. And especially the Dallas and Calgary, they spotted Dallas three games, and they almost came back. I mean, that was, I think, the most talented team in Sharks history. Nabokov stood toe-to-toe, save-to-save with Turco. I mean, just incredible saves, and he gets beat on the power play in the fourth overtime.
Right.
I think, you know, it just didn't work. You know, they're going different directions now, but it's just been weird being in the dark for, you know, month and a half, you know, without any news on what they're leaning, you know, where they're going, what's going to happen. It's just been, you know, just a difficult situation this summer.
Well, clearly the there was news about Nabokov actually broken by you on Sharks page a couple of weeks ago, and you had some anonymous sources stating or expecting, or I don't know exactly what the correct word is, but thinking that Nabokov was going to be re-signed, and it was quoted by, you know, Puck Daddy Greg Wyshynski. I even saw a link to it on ESPN.com. So, you know, Doug and I were looking at each other and saying, good for John, you know, he's got some real news out there. And unfortunately, it didn't quite happen. So what do you think the deal is with that?
Well, the thing is I'm not, you know, someone who's going to throw out rumors, but I think I kind of have a duty is if I was talking to a lot of people the last couple of weeks, and if I hear something over and over again, I think I kind of have a duty to report it. It was against what I thought was going to happen and against what I thought the team was going to do. But over and over again, I heard the Sharks were leaning towards signing him. They were operating as if he was going to come back. They wanted him back. I think what I've heard a couple rumblings this weekend that if the dollars don't work, the dollars don't work. And I think that's what happened. You know, we don't know what he wanted. We don't know about the negotiations of you know, what went on between them. I think we're going to have to wait and see when he does sign and kind of compare that with the Shark situation.
So given that this thing went a completely a different direction than what you heard, do you think that maybe the people you talked to weren't privy to the sort of inner circle thinking of Doug Wilson? Or do you think more like you think it's possible that maybe you were fed some misinformation in order to get it out there?
Well, actually, I'm almost positive I was fed some misinformation, but that wasn't really what I was referencing. I think the inner circle or the sources, you know, there's not going to be very many. I think it's a very tight inner circle, and there's not going to be very many valid sources. But I think what it does come down to are going to be as shocked as those outside. I mean, this is a momentous kind of move for the franchise. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really trying to be decisive or whatever. I was just, you know, putting something out there that kind of went against what I thought was going to happen. So I think it might have kind of moved something forward and we got more information, but, you know, I would have preferred to be correct. And I actually did try to follow up and with the Sharks, with Nabokov's agent, with reporters who broke the Halak rumor, and with reporters in Montreal about Halak. The Sharks were reported to be the major suitor other than St. Louis for Halak. And, you know, no one had any other information except that the Sharks were in the bidding for that too.
Right, right. So you heard the same thing as Bob McKenzie, who reported that the Sharks were probably in on the Halak deal?
I just heard it from him.
Okay.
And then I tried to follow up on it and find out what the details were, but, you know, that didn't happen either.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So now that we know Nabby is not coming back, what is your opinion in terms of where they're going to go from here? Do you see it going the way of Thomas Greiss and they're going to bring in a veteran to either share the load or spell him? Or do you think they're going to chase a new number one goalie?
Well, first off, let me say this is my opinion. It's not from any sources.
Sure.
But I think Doug Wilson said today that he wanted to bring in a veteran goaltender. He told on David Pollock's Working the Corners blog. I think, you know, the big question is still Patrick Marleau. I mean, he still has to sign. I think it's a little bit of a two-way street. I mean, you can compare him to Kovalchuk. Do you want a pure goal scorer or two-way forward? You know, they have to sign Marleau, you know, first and foremost, and then figure out you know, how everything's, the chips are going to fall, whether they're going to make a big offer for Turco, whether they're going to go a different direction with maybe Mason or Ellis. And, you know, I don't think they're going to go with just Thomas Greiss and Alex Stalock. I mean, one, because Todd McClellan, after a couple of Greiss's starts, didn't express that much confidence in the way he played. And I think it was a little bit of a tough situation for Greiss because he didn't really get enough starts to build a momentum. And it's what we saw from Boucher 1 year earlier when he went on a string of, you know, 12, 14 games, just unbelievable. And then he sat for, you know, 3 weeks and then sat for another 3 weeks after that start.
So I think, they do go that direction, which way of those three guys you named, Mason, Ellis, and Turco, if you were the GM, which guy would you pick?
I think you got to choose the best goaltender available. And I don't know.
So you go with Nabokov?
I go with Nabokov. You got the dollars, but I don't know. It's just, you know, I don't like making a guess like that without kind of hearing which way the team is, you know, pointed towards.
You got to get on the bandwagon with us of just blatant and reckless speculation. That's what we're in business for.
Yeah, it's fun. But the thing is, I got a question for you guys. Do you think that the media locally holds this team accountable? Because I think it was three months into the season, I just kind of wrote out throughout there that, you know, hey, you know, just by the way, Evgeny Nabokov and Patrick Marleau are unrestricted free agents. And like a couple days after that, there was a big interview with Patrick Marleau laying down where he stood to, you know, Drew Remenda. And then like a day or two after that, there was something in the Mercury News putting Evgeny Nabokov on the record. I think that if Nabokov and Marleau were unrestricted free agents in Toronto, in Philadelphia, New York, Montreal, I mean, this would have been a weekly conversation. And in San Jose, you know, it took 2 or 3 months before we really kind of got them on the record, at least.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, sort of a question for you is, I mean, do you think that the news that Sharks page released about, you know, Nabokov maybe coming back, do you think this was partially a response to that? And do you think you're moving the needle a little bit here?
Man, I don't want to do that. You know, I just kind of thought I had to write it because that's what I heard, you know, not...
But you're right. I mean, to answer your question, I'm not going to, you know, I'll let Doug answer too, but yeah. I think you're right. I think, you know, there's not a lot of media here. You know, there's not a lot of guys that really hold the team's feet to the fire. And I think part of the thing is I think that management has trained us to think that we're not going to get any information. I think Doug Wilson is more close to the vest than almost any other GM in the league. And maybe people just don't ask those questions because they don't expect to get the answers. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's a fair point. Dave Stubbs from the Montreal Gazette told me Montreal has an almost combative relationship with the media. You know, they kind of keep them in the dark as well. But I think, you know, there was a little bit of questioning of Doug Wilson when he was first hired. I think he's kind of proven himself to be, you know, a straightforward and honest guy. And when he says he doesn't want to discuss contract negotiations, he doesn't want to, you know, kind of influence the business decision. He doesn't want to tamper with other players, with other teams' players by talking about them. I think you got to kind of take him at his word. But the thing is, though, you know, who is going to kind of hold the team accountable for, you know, this is six seasons. There's been some really major problems in the postseason. And, you know, how is a team going to adjust its construction with, you know, moving forward with Marleau and not Nabokov? Or, you know, there's some very major questions that need to be asked, and I don't think they're being asked right now.
No, I think you're right. Frankly, I'm really heartened by this move because I think it would have been an easy move. It would have been an easy PR move to say, you know, this guy's been the franchise goalie. He's been with the franchise for 10 years. We're just going to re-sign him and keep all the fans happy. And frankly, you know, this could really... piss a lot of people off, frankly.
Well, I don't think it's going to piss that many people off, dude. I mean, you look at our poll question, what did the end score end up being? Like 71 to nothing? And
yeah.
People in favor of keeping Marleau over Nabby. So I think this is a move that people are going to get behind, especially if, you know, he's able to come up with a viable veteran solution. John, let me throw out two more names to you. There's one we're hearing, reading a lot on Twitter, actually, about people now talking about Tim Thomas from the Boston Bruins possibly coming to San Jose. If that happened, what would your take on that be?
Well, I mean, it's just been weird, kind of his career progression. He was a guy, I think last season, I think it would have been phenomenal for any team to have him. But then this year, there's just been, you know, some holes and some gaps. And they wonder if this is like the progression he's going to follow or if it was an anomaly. For me, I just love taking pictures of him. His helmet falls off all the time. You can kind of gauge, is the helmet going to fall off twice? Is it going to fall off three times this game? Does he need a break? Is that why it's happening? Does he need a breather?
So for you, thumbs up on Tim Thomas.
I'd say the thing is, it was kind of similar to Nabokov Turco. If they're going to go with a younger, less expensive guy, they have more room to sign their guys and to bring in maybe an upgrade on defense. Right. If they sign a Turco or a Thomas, are they going to be able to get a number two or a number four defenseman?
Right.
I think they need one with Blake retiring.
Here's another wacky name before we get into the defenseman topic.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any chance, now I'm not saying I want this, but do you think there's any chance Vesa Toskala is maybe the veteran goalie that they're looking at?
Well, I think he's available. I think they have his phone number.
Oh, he's available. And you know what? I think he's got a moving truck on speed dial, so he can probably get out of your
path. I tried to say that with less derision. I'm trying to be diplomatic.
It would definitely, I think, spark a lot of controversy if that ended up being the move to the guy who was going to maybe share time with Greiss or given the opportunity to compete. But Vesa Toskala, maybe it'd be interesting to see what's going to happen to him this offseason. Yeah. If he's going to catch on with someone or, if he'll end up, sort of jobless, Manny Legacy.
Right. Yeah.
I have one question for you guys. If, they move Sabats, so there's another one-way contract they don't have to account for. Do you think it'd be possible they could sign Marleau and Kovalchuk in this July 1st?
Wow. I do not see that being possible because, for one, I think that there hasn't been a lot of success with teams that sign a lot of guys to really expensive deals, and they're both going to require a lot of years and a lot of money. I just don't, and the problem is that you're not going to have anything left for the Malhotras and the Ortmeyers and these other guys that I think the Sharks also need to sign. So, given the fact that the Sharks never signed a big free agent, mm-hmm. Put that in the mix as well. I think that Kovalchuk is certainly out of it now. I mean, if they said we're keeping Nabby, then I would say the possibility of them getting Kovalchuk instead of Marleau might be higher. But I think the chance of them getting Kovalchuk, both those two guys, I think is almost nil.
Yeah.
And with regards to Malhotra, he took less than 50% of what he made last year to stay here.
That's right.
To fit under the cap. I think he's first in line if you're going to sign a guy after Marleau.
I think you're right. I think, I'm just, speculating again because that's what we're good at. But I think there was some sort of handshake deal, which is, if you have a good year with us, then we'll make it worth your while. Because like you said, I think he was offered $2 million by Atlanta or something, or yeah. That was the rumor. And I think the Sharks said, if you sign for $700 this year, next year we'll give you market rate and we'll keep you around. And I can't say, can anybody make an argument that Malhotra didn't live up to his expectations and exceeded them? I mean, I think he was everything we wanted him to be.
Well, hey, the national television disagreed with you. They had some major problems with Malhotra in that last series. And I think behind the net had some problems, like one-on-one matchups. But in the first two playoff rounds, he was he was solid.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I have... keep going.
So, we were going to talk about defense. Right. What do you got for defense?
Yeah, I think Mike and I agree that, and we said this last year too, that probably the most important thing that Doug Wilson needs to do with this money is go out and get. We need to get a Seabrook to Dan Boyle's Duncan Keith. It's just sorely lacking on this team, and I don't think Rob Blake, as nice of a piece as he was able to fill that role. I guess it's a two-part question, John. Do you think they're going to be able to be successful in getting this player? And, if you were able to get someone like Braden Coburn, who is now our new champion of the offseason. We'll be talking about Braden Coburn a lot. If you could trade the rights to Forsetto for the rights to Coburn, would you do that?
I think the Sharks have enough forward depth that you'd have to definitely consider it. But I think the team kind of altered their makeup when they got rid of Erhoff and Lukowicz. And, you know, they kind of transformed from a team that can make that quick first pass and kind of quick transition game. And the Sharks were a slower team a couple times this year, especially in a couple rounds in the playoffs. I think, you know, they kind of banked on always having this speed and that first pass and being able to, you know, quickly move the puck out of danger and pressure offenses. And you could really see it wear down on teams. I remember seeing, I think it was Atlanta, there was a young defenseman, and I think after the game he said to their media, you know, one time it's Marlowe, the next time it's Thornton. I mean, this is insane. Guys coming at him.
Right.
I don't know. I think, they're interested in maybe bringing back Wallin, according to what Wilson said today. I don't know what the situation with Leach is. I think they got to bring in a big, you know, number two, number three guy. I have one question. Would you move up Vlasic and pair him with Boyle? Could he be that kind of defensive counterpart to Boyle's offense?
Dude, I'm going to let you answer because I took the last one.
Well, we saw that a little bit this year, didn't we? I mean, didn't we see that when Blake went out? I'm trying to remember. I feel like they did move him up, and then they were playing Blake and Murray together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? And I thought that one or two games that we did see it was actually kind of exciting, and Vlasic was, you know, I think we called it, you know, that he wasn't being watched by dad anymore, you know, and that he was able to kind of let loose a little bit. He was able to free up and still be defensively responsible. But I'm not sure he plays like that sort of bodyguard type role that Seabrook, not, you know, enforcer like, but I think Coburn or a player like that would maybe be a better fit.
Yeah.
I would like Vlasic and Murray, actually. Yeah. I think that would be a pretty
Vlasic's
good fit.
More of a positional guy.
Right. Absolutely. And sort of my answer to that question is I wouldn't mind that pairing if we had another guy in the top four.
Right.
But if your top four is Boyle, Vlasic, Murray, and Demers, for instance, or Huskins, then you have a problem because one of those guys isn't there. You look at all the major playoff teams that went deep, and you get past the first couple guys, and there's a major disparity there. Mm-hmm. And whether you slot the guy that the Sharks need to get at number three or number two, you know, either way, fine by me. But I think it's pretty clear, at least to me, that there is a piece missing to this puzzle, and where that piece goes exactly, I don't know if that's the most important thing, but they definitely need someone.
Do you think there's kind of going to be a domino effect where the first goaltender, the first defenseman goes, they're going to go in quick succession?
I think we've already started to see that, to be honest with you. I mean, we saw Hamhuis go, and then we saw Weidman get traded from the Bruins. I think the dominoes have already started falling, to be honest with you, at least on the defensive aspect. I mean, we're going to wait for July 1 for Volchenkov, and he's the number one defenseman available, but I think it's certainly possible that we could see a goaltender get traded. I mean, Tomas Vokoun supposedly is staying in Florida, but we could see another guy get traded. I mean, we already saw Halak go. I mean, have we already seen this go, dude?
Well, I mean, a name that we were talking about on the way over here was Josh Harding. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. Minnesota's got two pretty good goalies. You know, are they going to use him as ammo? But, oh, the fireworks have already begun.
Yeah.
I mean, and you've got to think that Philly's going to be a huge player in these next couple days. They've got to move some cash. I still don't totally get Hamhuis being on that team with the D. I thought that was the last thing they needed to do. But they're going to have to get rid of somebody, and they're going to have to clear some cash.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to make a couple moves, probably.
I think there's one thing we can be assured of is if it happens, you know, we'll find out after the fact, you know.
Don't beat yourself up, John. I think you did all that in good faith. I don't know what the heck happened. I mean, I've never heard you report something like that before and have it not end up being true. So, I mean, everybody gets burned once in a while.
Hey, you know, I'm standing here. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, we're going to get you out of here on this one. So we're just going around. Again, I'm sorry we're going the speculation route, but you know a lot about this team. You know, you probably know a lot more about this team, frankly, than we do. So here's the question. There's a lot of guys that are yet unsigned. We're talking Setoguchi. We talked about Malhotra. Of course, Marlowe, Pavelski. There's a lot of guys. Which guy on the Sharks roster is going to be the first domino to fall. Which player do you think will sign first?
I'd have to say Marleau.
Okay, Marleau.
It's just, yeah.
Dude, what are you doing?
I'm going to say that in the next 2 days, I'm going to be specific.
Wow.
We're going to get a Joe Pavelski signing. I think he's going to be the first one.
See, I'm going to go with Joe Pavelski as well. Okay. Okay, so I'm writing all this down. And then John's going to end up being right, and then Doug and I will have to have a mea culpa on the blog. But that's how it goes. And John, we really appreciate you joining us here this week on Dudes on Hockey. Thanks so much.
No problem.
Nobel Peace Prize winner, first black man to pilot an aircraft.
Got some new music there for the yeah.
That I know that song. It's in my car.
Is it?
No. When John said he was going to send over some music for his intro and outro, that was not what I was expecting.
I wasn't expecting that either.
I thought maybe some German techno music.
German techno favorites by Chris Nero. Yeah, well, you learn something new about a guy every day. You know, we learned something new today.
John has a lot of class because he spoke out on his on a day that could have been a traumatic day for him.
Right. I mean, I'll just say it. He got kind of screwed. I mean, they fed him some junk, and he printed it, and it kind of I guess some people could say it kind of made him look a little made him look wrong, I guess, because it turned out being wrong. But you know what? I guess that's how it goes.
If you went down, even some of the guys who are the best at this, you know, and John himself says, you know, he doesn't normally write stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of the blatant speculation, which we make a weekly habit out of,
right?
And we're going to continue to do for the rest of the podcast
and future podcasts.
You know, he really doesn't do that. But if you went and looked at like things that Drager writes, I mean, and Drager and McKenzie are, you know, probably, you know, and Kevin Allen of the USA Today, and you know, they're probably the three most reputable, right?
Right, and they're as connected to the league as anybody, and sure, they still get it wrong sometimes.
And they still get it wrong, you know, and they still get it wrong sometimes. So, I think what happened today with Nabby is a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And, you know, I think Doug Wilson definitely could have made an easier choice and re-signed him and kept people happy. But, you know, this is another situation where he said, you know what, this isn't working. He's shown the ability before to make changes when things aren't working out. And I think that's what this situation was too. And now, to be honest, there's a whole lot of uncertainty surrounding the goaltending position. I mean, there's a lot of different ways the Sharks could go. They could go with the young goaltenders they already have, which we've talked about before in previous podcasts, or they could even try and trade for a number one. They could try and sign a guy, make him a number one, or they could, I think this is only broken today, I think the thing that I would like to see the most is for them to get a veteran guy, even basically a Brian Boucher type guy. Michael Layton is available.
Martin Biron.
Somebody sort of like that. And I want to see some competition at the goaltending position. We haven't seen competition at the goaltending position since Vesa Toskala and Mika Kiprusoff were in town, essentially. And I want to see a little bit of that because I don't want another lost year in the Greiss development cycle where he plays 10 games and we still don't have the answer to the question, is Thomas Greiss an actual starting NHL goaltender?
Right. Well, you know, we'll find out in the next, probably in the next week or two. I think we'll definitely have the answer. You would think that the Sharks are going to address this fairly swiftly, wouldn't you? I mean, because I believe it, dude. I believe that Doug Wilson was in on Yaroslav Halak until the very end. And I think pure speculation that the Canadians were asking for Logan Couture and he wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Because look at what they got. They got Lars Eller, who was maybe the Blues' best prospect at the time, their best offensive prospect at the time. And if you look at the Sharks roster, their best offensive prospect is Logan Couture, and it's not even close.
Right. So that's what they were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
They could have parted with the secondary toughness. They could have given them that secondary prospect and probably not had it hurt at all. But, you know, I think I compared it on the blog to the Sharks trading Logan Couture and then defensive prospect Taylor Doherty.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, those types of guys for Halak, a guy who are not even positive that he's going to sign. I mean, he could run to Russia. Now, you know, people don't seem to think that that's going to be the answer, but we'd even put it on the blog in terms of a poll question. What were the results?
84% said no, too pricey.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, hindsight's 20/20. People went with maybe what the Doug Wilson deal was. Of course, we have no idea knowing what the actual trade offer was. If there was a trade offer, we don't even know that either for sure. But I think you're right. I think people are willing to... it's not like the Blues have five good goaltending prospects in the system. At least I haven't heard anything about that. So certainly the Sharks and the Blues are not in the same situation.
Well, this is the Blues' shot. I mean, they have a team that I think we've talked about before. I like their team, actually. And if Halak signs, they could become a very interesting team. Mm-hmm. And they've got a lot of money to spend. So,
right.
You know, if they decide just to go completely nuts and make Kovalchuk like... some sort of like record offer,
yeah,
then all of a sudden you have to pay full attention to the St. Louis Blues,
right?
You know, I mean, if they're running out Kovalchuk and they've got Halak, you know, they've leaped frogged several teams there.
Speaking of going crazy, there's been a couple big trades already, dude. We spoke about it a little bit with John, but let's go over these trades in detail. So the first one was a trade which maybe makes which was very strange to us, which is the Flyers getting another defenseman, Dan Hamhuis, which is a guy that, you know, we knew was going to be one of the most highly coveted defensemen on the open market. They go out and get him early. They trade Ryan Parent, not a bad young defenseman, but who was sort of in their number five or number six slot. He maybe was falling a little bit out of favor, but now the Flyers have five good defensemen and a whole truckload of cap trouble.
Right. So I guess the one thing that maybe we're incorrectly assuming is that they're going to get it done. I mean, they're going to get they're going to sign him. I mean, they must have a pretty good indication they feel like Hamhuis is going to stay. I mean, I thought I read something that Hamhuis said, you know, this is a great opportunity or
right.
something. You would think he would want to stay, but of all the things that they needed to do, I would have thought upgrading their D was probably the last thing on their list.
Right.
I mean, they have put themselves in a very interesting position and I think have maybe even potentially freed up a player that we both like very much in Braden Coburn, if he is indeed available, he is exactly the guy who I would want. And we have championed for players before.
We championed for Manny Malhotra last year.
And we got our wish. And the year before that, we wanted
Dan Boyle.
And we got our wish. And at the trade deadline, we wanted Brian Campbell. And we got Brian Campbell.
That's
so right. Here we are. We're going on the record.
We're official.
We want Braden Coburn. And
yes.
So, you know, whoever's listening and can make these sort of, you know, magic, you know, dreams and, you know, mm-hmm. come true for us, make it so.
Yes. And I'm totally honest in saying that I think I'd rather have Braden Coburn than Volchenkov. I think he fits a need that the Sharks have better than Volchenkov would. Certainly Volchenkov would take a lot of money. I don't know if we want to do that. Coburn's not going to be nearly as expensive. Is there another defenseman that is going to fit in that slot that we want better than Braden Coburn right now? Can you think of somebody? I don't know if I can at the moment off the top of my head. Trevor Daley? I like Trevor Daley.
Yeah, no, I like Coburn way, way better than that.
Yeah.
No, Coburn is the ideal partner here for
right.
Dan Boyle. He's young. He's got only upside, and he's
good
real
physicality.
Damn good right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and he can skate. So let's hope that the hockey gods are listening and that Braden Coburn will be maybe in Teal. And we've got some more trades here. Jason Arnott returning to the New Jersey Devils.
That was interesting.
What does that mean to you in terms of where they are with Kovalchuk?
That means that they're assuming Kovalchuk will not be back. That's what I think. I'm taking that to mean
different
that,
positions.
Right. It's different, but why would you go get... I don't know. Why would you go get a guy like that if you need to pay Kovalchuk a truckload of money?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to fill around Kovalchuk with certain guys and not a... I mean, Jason Arnott is a top-line player for the Nashville Predators. Wouldn't you want, you know, to sort of fill around? Because Kovalchuk's probably going to make $9 million, you know, maybe more. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Today, Nathan Horton traded to the Boston Bruins for Dennis Weidman.
Yeah, that's a big one. I guess the story came out that Nathan Horton wanted a trade... you know, a while back, and I guess he finally got it. And a guy that we wanted for the Sharks, Dennis Weidman, is now no longer available. So that was kind of a bummer.
Well, he's no longer a Bruin.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that... I mean, Florida has got an interesting situation on their blue line, actually. I mean, they've got, you know, they've got Keith Ballard, they've got Dennis mm-hmm. Weidman, they've got Brian McCabe. They've got Brian Allen. I mean, they've got some interesting blue liners there. You know, maybe they've just kind of built a total position of strength. And, you know, I would imagine that one of those guys might be on the move. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a player that we haven't, just going off the cuff here, dude. We haven't talked that much about Keith Ballard.
It's true.
When, I mean, his contract's very long, but I don't think the cap hits that. I like him. He's totally reckless with his stick. He likes to hit goalies in the back of the head.
Yes.
You know, so if the goalie's underperforming, maybe just takes a whack.
That's right. Yeah.
Seriously, what about Keith Ballard? Would you be interested at all?
Absolutely. Yeah. I would be interested in Keith Ballard. Not as much as Coburn, but certainly I would be.
I would be surprised if that's the guy that they're looking to move. You know, he's kind of a foundation type player. The signing of Plekanec in Montreal happened today.
Yeah, so he got $6 million? No.
He got $5 million a
year. $5 million
for
6 years.
Yeah, right.
So the natural comparison is Joe Pavelski. We talked a few weeks back about Pavelski comparisons. We talked about Jordan Staal. We talked about Ryan Kesler. Okay, so Plekanec, Pavelski, where do those two guys sit together?
Plekanec is a better point producer than Pavelski, so
no doubt
he's definitely worth more money, you know, in terms of that, but, you know, definitely not as valuable as like Dwight Helminen. So
exactly,
you know, he's probably going to get about $7 million.
Goes without saying.
I don't think that's, you know, that's the high, that's the ceiling for Pavelski. You know, I would be really, really surprised if he reached that number. I think I said 4.5 is going to be the number that we're going to see for Pavs. You know, it'll be interesting with the Nabby trade. You know, is the money going to be used to keep Seto Pavs long term, or, you know, where are they going to use that cash? But I don't think that's really going to affect the Pavelski market, do you?
No, this seems to be very much in line with what we expected. And so this is sort of a confirmation of what we had already thought. And I think you're right. I think this definitely sets a ceiling on what Pavelski could get. You know, Plekanec had 71 points last year. Pavelski's never gotten there. Plekanec is a top line player for Montreal. So we're definitely not going to see I can't imagine seeing Joe Pavelski make more than $5 million under any possible condition. Although we've seen Doug Wilson overpay for guys before.
And we've seen him over term, you know, with Mahalik. So, you know, might he go the 6 years with Pavelski if he really believes that he's the leader for this franchise in the future and they're going to anoint him the new captain potentially?
Right.
You know, we could see that. That would be a telling statement.
This could be a Mike Richards type situation. You know, a young 25 or 26 year old guy, you give him the captaincy and you sign him to a long term. We could see that.
That could definitely happen. Probably the biggest move this week is Brad Staubitz to the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, you know, it's not a big move, but certainly Brad Staubitz is a guy who played a number of games with the Sharks last year.
But for a fifth round pick, dude, and then Minnesota signs him to a 2-year deal.
Yeah, so they like him.
They gave him a raise.
They
do like him.
They do like him.
Todd Richards, big fan.
Big fan, yeah, I guess that's what it was, right? Todd Richards is a fan.
Well, it's certainly, and I don't want the listeners to get us wrong here. I don't have a lot of bad things to say about Nabby, right? And I don't have a lot of bad things to say about Brad Staubitz. But was he going to help this team get to the next level?
No, I don't think so.
No.
And maybe they're going to put him back at D, because remember, Brad Staubitz came up as a defenseman and didn't move to forward until very, very late after he was a pro. You know, if we see him at defense, maybe he's not a bad fill-in. As a
the
number
next six, Rob Davison
as a number seriously, I mean, you know, we weren't real fans of his on the offensive side of the puck. Certainly he's a very aggressive forechecker and likes to hit people, but maybe he has a little bit more ability on the defensive side and the Sharks just didn't like the way he played defense, didn't think it fit their style. Maybe it fits the Minnesota style.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to get some more worth out of Brad Staubitz than we did. You know, I wish him all the best. I have nothing bad to say about him. He didn't really fit with the Sharks. It's too bad. I mean, there's nothing he ever said or did to make people not want to like him.
Oh, he's got the highlight moment from the last 2 years, right? Highlight fight. We're going to forget about Brad Staubitz in September when everyone sees Fraser McLaren full time.
I hope so, because I think Fraser McLaren certainly has a much bigger upside than Brad Staubitz now.
So this is sort of like our draft free agency mega episode since Mike is going out of the country.
Yes.
So we're going to, this is going to be our only podcast for the next 2 weeks. And, you know, I'm going to try and blog while on free agency while Mike's gone, and we'll be back in about 2 weeks. But let's take a crack at some of the top 10 free agents here.
Okay.
And I want to see if we can correctly predict
all right
where they're going to go, and let's take a stab at the cash too.
Okay.
All right. This is in no particular order. Kovalchuk.
Okay. Kovy, I think, is going to end up with the Kings. And I think he's going to get between $9 and $9.5 million a year mm-hmm. for, you know, between 5 and 8 years.
I'm going to say, you know, I was going to say the Kings too, but I'm going to say he's going to go to...
You're just trying to find another team.
I know.
Dude, just say the Kings if you think the Kings.
No. I'm going to say he's going to go to the Kings, yeah, because
okay.
that's what I think.
Yeah.
I really do think he's going to go there. I think it's, you know, the kind of market that might be attractive to him, and I think that Lombardi's been waiting and waiting and waiting, and he probably would rather have Marlowe, and Marlowe's not going to be available, so he's going to give him the cash. I'm going to say $7.5 million for some sort of ridiculous term, like 10 years.
Okay. All right, who else you got?
Evgeny Nabokov.
Okay, Nabby, so you're going first, so I'm writing all this down so we can make fun of each other later when we get it wrong. So where's Nabby going to go?
Gosh, I'm going to say that Nabby is going to go to the Washington Capitals.
Really? Okay.
Yep. I'm going to say Washington Capitals, 3 years, $5.5 million a year.
Okay. I'm going to make another crazy deal and say, I think he's going to Philly. I'm going to say Philly.
Don't see how they're going to have the money, but
they'll trade Carter and Briere and everybody they can, and because they've said that they want a goaltender, I think they're going to get Nabby. I'm saying $5 million is a 35 and over contract. They'll give him the Tim Thomas deal.
Okay.
They'll give him 4 years, $20 million.
All right, Sergei Gonchar.
Okay, I think he's going to re-sign with the Pens. For like 3.5, he's gonna get the Blake deal. 3.5.
Ooh, I'm gonna say more than that. He's gonna get 4.5, 1 year.
With who?
Pens.
Oh, you think he's going back to the Pens too?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. What else you got?
Anton Volchenkov.
Yeah, this is a tough one. So, who needs him bad, right? Is he gonna go for the money? Because you could see somebody like Tampa Bay offering him a truckload. You know, I think that's going to be my pick. I think they might give him a lot of money. I think Steve Yzerman might want to make a splash in his first free agency. I think they could give him the Mike Komisarek deal, give him $4.5 million, and he's going to Tampa.
I'm going to say something very stupid.
Okay.
Okay. Volchenkov to the New York Rangers.
Okay.
All right. They do have $12 million of cap room, and they like to do stupid things.
Especially with Senators. Yeah. They went out and cut.
Why not do that one, you know?
Yeah. So how much?
I'm going to say, because it's the Rangers also, $5.5 million, okay. You know?
Give them the red one.
That'd be a classic Rangers move there.
Wouldn't it?
How about Zibanejad Mihalik?
Okay, yeah, this is going to be tough. This is a hard one. I went first last time. You go first.
It goes against all logic, but I'm going to say that he's going to stay in Phoenix.
Damn, I was tempted to say that.
Yeah, I think he's going to stay in Phoenix. They're going to convince him to stick around, and there he's going to do like a long term, like a 6 year, $24 million deal long term.
Okay, so like $4 million. Let's see. You know, I could see him going someplace like Columbus, because I think Columbus wants to make a splash. I could see Columbus going after a guy. They could be in the Volchenkov sweepstakes. They could be even in a forward sweepstakes. I'm going to say Columbus, just because I want to spice things up a little bit. And I'll say they'll have to overpay him. They'll give him the Jeff Finger deal. They'll give him 4.5. All right.
Okay.
How many more we got?
Damn it. I want to change one.
Okay. Well, you can't.
Damn it.
It's too late.
Okay. Matthew Lombardi.
Okay. Yeah.
It's my turn?
Well, it's mine. He's Phoenix, right?
Yes.
I think they want to keep him. I think he's going to... That's the guy I think is going to stay in Phoenix, because he's not a bad second-line player. They're probably not going to have him pay him too much. What's he making now?
I think he only made like two and a half
last
year.
Yeah, so I'm going to stick with that. I'll say 2.5, and he'll stay in Phoenix.
Okay. I'm going to send Matthew Lombardi to the New York Islanders.
Okay.
They've got a lot of money to spend, and I think they're going to overpay for him. I think they're going to give him something like $4.5 million, and...
Wow.
He's not an old guy, And he'd be a good second line player for a team like the Islanders. So I'm going to go Islanders.
Okay.
Paul Martin.
Paul Martin. I want to say Sharks. I want to say Sharks. Let's see. Is there a way I can say the Sharks? What the hell? I'll say Sharks.
Wow.
Yeah. I know Yeah, what the hell? They'll give him four. Is he going to... They got to go 4.5 in order to sign him. I'll say Paul Martin, Sharks, okay. 4.5.
I'm going to go 4.5 also, but I'm giving him to the Vancouver Canucks. I think they're going to be able to be looking to replace Willie Mitchell, and they're going to find a way to get Paul Martin.
Okay.
Ray Whitney.
I think Ray Whitney could go to Toronto.
Mm.
I think Ray Whitney could get a one-year deal, like $3.5 million, to go to Toronto.
I think Ray Whitney is looking for a cup. I'm putting him in Washington.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to give him Washington. I think he's going to take something small, you know, like $3 million.
Okay.
Two more players, dude. Marty Turco.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Who? You know, I'm gonna make the trade very symmetrical and say he's going to go to Atlanta.
Wow.
And say he could be the veteran backup to Pavlich if Pavlich, you know, continues to have an injury here and there. I'm going to say he's going to get $3 million and go to Atlanta to be kind of a backup guy.
I'm going to agree with the money, dude, but I'm sticking to my guns. I think Marty Turco is going to be a San Jose Shark. I've said it for a while now. I think that's possibly the route they're going to go. Turco.
Okay.
All right. Last one, Chris Mason.
Chris Mason. Well, see, this is almost one where I say, who cares? But, you know, why wouldn't they keep him? Wouldn't they keep him? He's not going to be that expensive, right?
St. Louis? I mean, yeah. they're not. He doesn't want a backup, Halak.
But, yeah. I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to stick with St. Louis.
Stays in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Boy, that's going to be a one in the wrong column for you.
Right. Yeah, because Volchenkov going to the Rangers is such a great pick.
I am sending Chris Mason to the Philadelphia Flyers.
Okay. So
right, I think that's going to be their goalie.
That's their goalie.
And I think they're going to go short with him 2 years. About $8 million.
Okay, so 4.0. Okay, so that's our top 10. It's on the record. I've written it down. We'll be checking these off throughout free agency and making fun of each other when we're both wrong, frankly, right, for right. Most of these.
We'll see who gets the most right. We buy the other person a beer.
Sounds like a good plan, good. Dude.
Well, if you're still listening, you're a true champion. Yeah. This is the longest podcast we've ever done.
But remember, we're not going to be here next week. So 2 weeks, you have to make do with just playing this podcast over and over and over again and reading the blog at dudesonhockey.com.
So when we're back, dude, I hope that we've gotten someone to take Ken Huskins. Mm-hmm. I hope we have traded for Braden Coburn. And I hope the Sharks have signed Owen Nolan. And I would also like Aaron Ashram, please.
And I would like a pony. I hope we all get what we want.
All right.
See you, dude.
Bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.